Welcome to Inspiring Elders, a 13-part documentary produced and presented by Marie-Angeline Lascaux with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland. What happens physiologically and psychologically as we grow older? What is the role of an elder in our society? What does positive aging mean? What part does nutrition play in remaining fit and healthy? And why is it so important to remain active in our later years? Why do so many of our elders engage in music, art, dance, poetry? Can we start new careers in our 50s and 60s? What is the role of spirituality? And what does it mean to live a fulfilled life? All these questions and more will be answered by a panel of experts, including a professor of gerontology, medical doctors, an Ayurvedic doctor, a homeopath, a psychologist, dancers, writers, artists, teachers, healers, all of whom share a passion for life and a commitment to remain engaged with the younger generation. In this program, Dr. Don Brennan explains the importance of music and sounds. Lucy Johnson talks about her career as a singer and photographer. Dolores Whelan shares with us the healing aspect of music. Mary Brady tells us about her career as a writer. Eilish Kelly reminds us that art speaks directly to our soul. And Joe Cluxton brings us through the healing colors of the rainbow. Dr. Brennan, I was wondering if you could tell us of the importance of sound and music in remaining healthy in our golden years.
You have to look again at the deepest level of our being, which is consciousness. And like an ocean, still at the base, but very lively at the surface, everything we experience in life we do through our senses. You hear your thoughts. You hear me. You feel your emotions. You feel the chair you're sitting on. You have insight. You visualize. And you see the room around you. You have fine flavors of things in the same sense of taste and smell as gives you the fragrances and the tastes of the food you eat. So our senses work within and without, and the subtlest of all these senses is the sense of hearing. At the deepest level it operates. It's the closest to that ocean of being. So traditionally it was the wise, as it were, heard reverberations or frequencies at the deepest level of their being. And these frequencies became the energies that materialized as a physical form. So those inner frequencies become Veda, from this tradition of Veda. So in the Vedic tradition, the significance of sound is profound. And there were traditional musics in the Vedic tradition that entrained us, brought our body-mind systems back to a frequency of vibration functioning which was attuned naturally to the time, to the place. So there were musics for different times of life, musics for different seasons, musics for different times of the day. And it's interesting, in our own Irish tradition, there were, I believe, four branches of music: to wake you up, to put you asleep, to make you go to war, and so forth. So the effect of music on our functioning and our physiology is quite profound. In the Vedic healing tradition, it was understood that the frequencies of sound could heal us. So there were treatments called Vedic vibration, which would actually, just by virtue of those sounds, bring a healing influence to the body.
I'm 61.
And singing has been part of your life for a very long time.
Since I was a small child. I was born in Slane in 1949. I come from a large family. So the story my mother used to tell me was that when I was very tiny, and she was doing her washing. We had an electric washing machine, and when she'd be doing her washing on a Monday, I used to toddle down and lean up against the washing machine and listen to the hum of the motor and then start harmonizing. So if the motor went, I'd be there going, So it was so funny, she said, just to watch it happening at that stage. And because we were a large family and my sisters would be singing and learning songs, listening to radio, learning songs, we would have sung together. It was quite normal for us to do the housework and sing at the same time and harmonise. So in actual fact, from the time I was about 9, 10, we would have formed the bones of the local choir. My sisters would all have sung in the choir, so I would have been dragged along anyway to rehearsals. So you absorb it, I suppose, is the way to put it. My sister and I used to sing as children, Adrian and myself, on children's radio programmes. Adrian was 4 years older than I was, so I suppose from the time I was 10, and we used to come to Dublin, which was a great treat for us, to record songs for children's programmes. From then on, we just got involved in folk singing, and my brother played guitar, and we made some records and had some hits and stuff like that.
So what was the group called?
Just called the Johnstons. And then the other members of the group later on would have been Paul Brady, who's well known, and another man called Mick Maloney, who works mostly in America. Professionally, I would have been singing from the time I was 17. I got married when I was 20 to a photographer. I then, because the group were then moving to America, we got married, myself and Roy got married, and I stayed here in Ireland. I stopped singing at that stage. When I was out of the loop, when I was out of mixing with people who are musicians and singers, I closed the music door and then opened the visual door, in the sense of I started to do photography at that stage with my husband. And I loved it. I loved it. It was a very exciting time in Ireland. There was a lot of creativity.
So you went back to singing at what point in your life?
I would say really not until I was well into my 40s. I was working professionally as a photographer, and I had to travel the country a lot because I was photographing cheesemakers and potters, and I loved arts and crafts, and my studio was going well and business was good. So I would very often end up down the country for a weekend or staying over with some of my clients. And if there was a party, especially if you go to Cork, it's a great place for music. You'll always be asked to sing, or if you play an instrument, you definitely would have to do that. So I had to start learning some songs. I started singing kind of country songs and country music. And I had a very good friend who played guitar. He encouraged me a lot, because it was quite difficult to go back. It's almost as if your lungs closed down. You don't use them, your breathing changes, so you kind of have to start all over again, really.
And you play some instruments, tell me about this.
Oh, that's my latest passion, is the ukulele. I love it, it's such fun. It's a kind of a happy instrument. And the nice thing about it is it's very simple to play, and you can accompany yourself. It's like a tiny little guitar, and it's just got 4 strings.
And how does it sound compared to the guitar?
Ah, well, it's a much lighter sound. I mean, when you take it out, people just smile, you know? So you're off to a good start.
What happens to you when you sing?
It moves me into a different space. Because even when I'm kind of stressed out, I can sit here on my own and just play music, and gradually the songs take over. It's almost as if the song demands to be sung, and then I sing it. It's such a lovely feeling. I have no regrets that I actually left the professional music business when I did, because I learned something new. I learned photography, and then photography opened up the visual things for me.
I love music of all kinds, and I love art. And so much of our lives nowadays are very, very functional. And I think art is a wonderful way to balance that. Music, you know, until very in the last maybe 100 years, music wasn't seen as entertainment. Music was for healing. And so there were different kinds of music. And within the Irish traditional music, there were three strains of music. There was the music that was for grieving. There was the music that was for joy, and there was music that transported you to the other world. I believe myself hugely in the healing power of music. As we get older, you know, music is such, it's such a joy. And I find it very, very important as we get older to stay connected with that, because yes, it keeps one connected with the thread of life and with the creative wellspring, which is always young. Yes, and I think when you're tuned into that artistic vision and artistic way of being in the world, you don't get old. Being old is nothing to do with a number. It's to do with your mind, and it's to do with what you perceive to be important. And I think if one is connected with their inner life, with the artistic dimension and the mythical dimension, it's always springtime. Many of my teachers are in their 80s. I mean, one of my great teachers, Thomas Berry, just died 2 years ago, and he was 93, and he wrote a book a year before he died.
I'm 80. I was 80 this year in August. At the moment, I'm just writing my memoirs, like a lot of people my age, but with a slight difference, because I'm illustrating it as I go along and including, you know, photographs and various things in it, making visual pages as well as writing. It started by being in fabrics and in embroidery in the college, and then I branched into painting, and so now it's a kind of a mixture of things. I print as well, do a bit of printing.
And you've just published 2 books quite recently.
Yes, the first one I published last year, the end of last year, was actually just about my experiences of bereavement. My husband died, it'll be 10 years this year. It is a really devastating experience, and I wrote about it. It was one of the ways I helped myself really towards recovery, was writing about it while he was ill, and writing about it afterwards, and I painted it as well. So then I put it together in a book that had diary extracts and poems and just an account of what happened and what it was like, because of what I went through. I thought there'd be lots of other people going through it as well, and I thought it might help them. They'd identify with things in it, and they mightn't feel so alone, because you do think you might be going mad sometimes because it's so difficult.
Dermot, like a boat, I drift rudderless without your steady hand in mine. My heart still sees you worn by pain, the tethering tubes no longer lifelines. At night you come to me in dreams, with your dark hair falling forward, your face intent over a drawing board, strong and tender as when we first loved. As I drift towards old age, changed by all your absence brings, I search a way to live without you and become someone you may not know.
What do you feel happens when you are either writing or doing a piece of artwork?
Well, when you're doing anything creative, I think you're very much in the present, and that's a good place to be. It's the only place to be. I think doing creative things is very kind of liberating, or it builds you up or something. It feeds your inner self.
Katie. That summer, we were children, standing together under a bush, watching the rain run into puddles. Your bent head, a tangle of curls, your small fists full of primroses. I saw you as if for the first time. Until then, you seemed a part of me, younger, smaller, more willing. But now you were someone else, unknown, other. You were you. I knew then that we were separate. And you too, that I loved you.
Mary, can you tell us about your second book?
Well, the second book is really just for children, up to about 7, I think. And it's a story about Spider, the adventurousness of a spider's life. Well, the spider is called Spirella, and she just is a very ethical kind of spider, caring kind of, generous, nice spider. I thought maybe such a lot of children are scared of spiders, that might be a good idea to portray a really likable spider, so they could think of spiders differently.
I'm 62 years of age.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the art therapy?
Well, the art therapies are like the final outcome. I came through a sort of trajectory of creative drama into community drama, into community arts, realizing all the arts can speak to us and can speak to our soul in some way that other things don't. But then finally coming to the point of that it's an inner encounter with some aspect of oneself. It's like going a complete circle and coming back to the beginning again. So that's the point that I would find myself in my 60s, is this inner journey.
Singing together. Power of sound. That heavy roundness of it. Our voices opening, emerging from somewhere unknown inside, deep buried in a hidden part. A stream bursting its banks to clear away tangled thoughts, neglected feelings. All our streams coming together, getting louder, getting closer to something free, something real. Our shared humanity, our hidden vulnerability, reaching beyond the strictures of behavior, of image. To the pleasure of being present, to the joy of making noise, to the healing of being heard.
You have been a member of a creative group where you dance and write together. Tell us about it.
It was just very nice to come to a group where you could write and meditate and dance. And I love dancing. I think that's really one of the things I really love. I don't think I'm self-conscious about being old. I like being with young people. I think that's very nice. And sometimes it's not easy when you're old to be with young people that are not going to patronize you. I mean, young people tend to patronize the old because they think, you know, they're not up to it because they're not hearing properly or something like that. Well, it's true in a way, but it's nice when they don't patronize. You know, when they can talk to you just like an equal. That's really nice.
Joe Cluxton attended the same creative group.
O angel of the morning, whisper quietly to my fears. Let your soothing words trickle as softly as my tears. Over my soul, like warm summer rain, slowly, gently, wash away my pain. As the light of your wisdom, filtering through the tears that I cry, forms a special rainbow across my sky. A rainbow of these colours for my soul to heal. Pink for love that's warm and real. Green to help me heal and grow. Purple and blue to lift a spirit that is so low. Gold to give me all the wisdom that I lack. White to guide and stop me looking back. Most of all, red, strong and bright, for life, energy, and the power to make my darkness bright.
I will now lead you into a guided meditation to integrate all we discussed, clear your energy, and open up to the manifestation of your dreams. Sit comfortably with your spine vertical, your shoulders soft, your hands resting on your laps, your crown lifted towards the ceiling, your eyes closed, lips slightly parted to release the jaws, and your awareness is with the breath. Notice the natural rhythm of the breath and the way your body responds to the breath. And with each new breath, you invite peace and relaxation, allowing that peace and relaxation to spread to your whole body. Your whole body relaxing more and more with each new breath. And as you breathe out, you are letting go, releasing any problems, any worries, any fears or anxieties. Each out breath, a letting go. Imagine a violet flame or a violet fire. This violet fire does not destroy anything, but it transforms all that you're letting go of into pure light. So as you breathe out, release everything that's been weighing you down into this violet fire, this violet flame of transmutation. Each out breath, and letting go. You can visualize, imagine or feel all the negative energy lifting out of your body, out of your energy field, into this violet flame, feeling lighter and lighter as you release more and more. A complete spring cleaning of your energy. Keep your awareness with the breath flowing in and out of your body. And as you breathe in pale blue light of peace and relaxation, and let it spread to your whole body. Your whole body relaxing more and more with each new breath. Bring your awareness to your heart. Notice your heartbeat, how it feels like in your heart. Feel your chest rising and falling with the breath. Notice how it feels like in your heart today. Does it feel warm and comfortable? Does it feel tight? Does it feel soft, vibrant? Does it feel numb? Does it feel lonely, scared, angry, sad, joyful, excited? How does it feel like inside your heart? Let the breath move deeper and deeper, bringing the breath all the way down into your belly. Imagine pulling yourself back from all the activities, all the preoccupation, calling yourself back to yourself, and allow yourself to feel that sense of coming back together again in all your strength, all your beauty. feeling your energy returning to you and continuing to focus on the breath in and out. Let this energy spread to your whole body, each and every cell, atom and molecule of your body, vibrant with energy, vitality, strength. You are a wonderful human being, full of potential, full of beauty. Reach out with your energy and make your dream come true. Keep your awareness with the breath and let the breath bring you back to an awareness of the sounds around you, my voice, any other sound where you are. Take time to stretch your body at your own pace. And when you feel ready, open your eyes to a new moment. You were listening to Inspiring Elders, a 13-part documentary produced and presented by Marie-Angèle Lascaux with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland. This program featured Dr. Don Brennan, Lucy Johnson, Dolores Whelan, Mary Brady, Ailish Kelly, and Joe Cluxton. The music on this program is from Seamus Byrne, and you can find out more about his music on www.brotherseamus.ie. If you want to get in touch with any of the contributors, you can contact us through www.springintolife.ie. Tune in again next week to hear from our Golden Age dancers.